What do you think is going to happen now?
What can happen? Hate is finished. There's nothing left. There's nothing left.
Brutalité sans réparation, projet de l'ascension. Attention.
Port-au-Prince resident Margaret Barnett speaks to journalist Ansel Hertz on the morning after Haiti's devastating earthquake. In raw tone, she recounts her personal losses, and she also evokes the cynicism many Haitians now feel toward the international community.
No, but the only thing I don't understand, the United Nations, is it really here to help, or what is it doing? Because I live in Tabasi, these people standing in their place, they didn't move. What's gonna happen? What kind of help? There's no hospital. Like, everybody talking about Haiti, the Americans are saying Haiti this, Haiti that. Is it true the American really help the Haitian people? There's no help.
At the time of the earthquake, Haiti was patrolled by a force of 9,000 UN soldiers. Thousands of NGOs and international aid agencies dotted Haiti's landscape. Yet few of these personnel seemed to be on hand to assist Haitians in the hours and days following the disaster. Ansel Hertz explains.
I have seen only one instance of large-scale aid being distributed from a UN truck since the earthquake. And I've been traveling around the city by motorcycle all around the city for the past almost week now since the earthquake. In the first two or three days after the earthquake, I saw not a single rescue team. And so nobody from the Dominican Republic, nobody from the United States, not a single rescue team, only Haitians helping each other.
Haitians are a proud people who have survived a history of multiple foreign interventions. These interventions have served to weaken or realign the nation's economy along neoliberal lines. In 2004, soldiers from the U.S., Canada, and France facilitated the overthrow of Haiti's popular government. 25,000 soldiers are now largely shaping the international relief efforts, and this leaves Haitians apprehensive that the large military presence may outstay its welcome.
Nous sommes venus ici aujourd'hui pour apporter notre solidarité.
In Montreal, outside a conference of donor nations focused on Haiti's reconstruction, Haitian expatriate Serge Beauchereau addresses a crowd.
This catastrophe must not serve as a pretext to abuse Haitian sovereignty. We have fought and shed our blood to have this piece of land for ourselves. We don't want this nightmare to be used to steal our country, to make us a star on the American flag, or an associated state like Puerto Rico. Haiti must belong to the Haitians. Haiti for the Haitians.
At a demonstration organized by Canada Haiti Action Network, CKUT spoke with protester Anthony Morgan. He warned that interests of foreign companies managing reconstruction may be at odds with those of average Haitians.
And why I'm here, there's a number of reasons why I'm here. And I'd say the first is wanting demilitarization of aid. Right? I think there needs to be more priority put on having doctors, not soldiers, medicine, not guns in the country. Right? I think it's been disproportionate, the amount of troops that have been put on the ground. Certainly a degree of security needs to be set in the country. However, denying planes because there's military men on the ground, it doesn't accord with me. If they're going to be talking about reconstruction, I think these foreign powers need to seriously own up to their responsibility in the underdevelopment of Haiti, right? The embargoes that have been laid on Haiti for years. Also, just the debt that Haiti had to pay for liberating itself. It was absolutely unheard of in 1820, 1825 when they were forced by France to pay 150 million gold francs, right? They didn't end up paying that off. until 1947. In terms of having to pay that off over the years, Haiti was paying out approximately 90% of its budget. You can't ask any person, any home, to run itself giving away 90% of its funds to other people. Like, it's just unfathomable. So I think it's critically important that they discuss canceling absolutely all debt of the country, and having all the aid that's been given, it be grants and absolutely no more loans.
Although Haiti covers a tiny land area and has a small population, the significance of this country has long resonated far beyond its borders. Haiti was born out of a slave revolt in 1804. The Republic was ostracized by European powers, but forged close links with its neighbors in the Caribbean. Starting in the 1980s, Haiti's popular movement inspired the anti-neoliberal agenda, which has since gained prominence in the Caribbean. Protester Mary Pierre questions the absence of leaders of the country's neighboring Haiti at the Montreal Reconstruction Conference.
Nous sommes toujours d'accord pour que eux ils nous aident en Haïti, mais nous ne sommes pas d'accord sur l'occupation.
We agree that they can help us in Haiti, but we don't agree with an occupation. And we also disagree because they haven't included Caribbean leaders like Fidel Castro, Chavez, and all the others.
On the day before the Montreal conference, South American leaders held their own meeting in Caracas, Venezuela. They announced a relief plan for Haiti premised on humanitarian aid and debt forgiveness. Talks in Montreal had a different focus. Professor Peter Hallward discusses the contradiction between Haiti's popular movement and the free trade agenda.
The popular movement became known as La Valas. It generates a momentum that the army and the paramilitaries and so on can't really contain. And they finally win an election in 1990 that brings Jean Bertrand Aristide to power with a great deal of momentum and political power behind it. And it's in response to that a whole series of steps are taken to basically make sure that this doesn't happen, to preserve the interests of a small social and economic elite in Haiti and the interests of their interlocutors and the international community. And that takes initially the form of a military coup that overthrows that government, as you know, in 1991. And then it takes on a different shape when Aristide is reelected in 2000. The strategy to weaken this movement and to undercut the government took on a more elaborate form. But broadly speaking, it's an extension of some of the fundamental neoliberal policies that involve, you know, cutting public spending, privatizing state resources, pushing through various austerity measures.
I think we've seen since 2004 the majority of Canadian aid has been earmarked to projects that involve security, reinforcing the police, reinforcing the judicial apparatus, and much less money has been targeted to projects such as roads or improving roads or hospitals.
Yes, absolutely. This is I think it's possibly the single most important issue, is how it was that political questions about the empowerment of the majority of the people, about justice, about equality, were basically deflected and replaced by questions around security, the security of property, the security of privilege. You can see it at so many levels in what's going on in the response to the earthquake. You know, flight after flight with humanitarian aid or humanitarian equipment is turned away in favor of bringing more and more U.S. soldiers in. And what this means, by saying we have to wait till the situation is secure, means that we will let these people die, rather than try and save probably the thousands of people that could have been saved in the initial days of this disaster. Rather than do that, the priority has been taken very calmly, very deliberately, to let them die, and instead to make a priority of establishing international military control over a few zones of Port-au-Prince before they begin the process of distributing aid. The spokesman people for the Doctors Without Borders are so outraged now, saying that they've never seen anything like it, that a kind of callousness and the perversity of this insistence on an agenda driven by, you know, basically by the paranoid security agenda of the international troops rather than the immediate and overwhelming needs of the Haitian people themselves.
This Groundwire report was produced by Courtney Kirkby and Chris Scott in Montreal. Special thanks to Ansel Hertz in Port-au-Prince. To view Ansel's reporting online, you can visit www.mediahacker.org.